Another health story now, and hands off our local hospital. That was the message from a protest meeting in Bangor last night. It was called over health cuts involving the closure of 20 GP beds and the town's minor injury unit. It's a temporary closure, but there are very real fears that it could become permanent. Our reporter Nicola Weir was at the protest meeting in Hamilton House. So too was the DUP MLA Alex Easton, who made a very public pledge and strongly criticised the local health trust. The DUP, of course, holds the Health Ministry post at Stormont, and Alex Easton is DUP Private Secretary at the Health Department. Basically, he's the right-hand man to Minister Jim Wells. Nicola begins her report by speaking to Unison Branch Secretary Barbara Mullen.
This facility facilitates the elderly and anybody that needs hospital. There's 20 beds there. The community use them. Also the outer part, Donaghadee, Lower Ards, the minor injuries... is busy, and to take that all away means that that is all going to go up to the Ulster. And we all know what about the Ulster A&E. It is the busiest A&E in Northern Ireland. So to put more pressure does not make sense.
So really, we need this hospital. And please, please, do not let it go.
With emotions and tempers running high in Hamilton House, many made sure their voices were heard.
My three daughters were born in Bangor Hospital. What I want to know is why the building extension and now they're closing it. Like, to me, it's a waste of money. And another thing I would like to ask is why they're not closing Newton Ards? Newton Ards, we have a bigger population in Bangor than we have in Newton Ards, and they're near to Dundonald Hospital. So why are we closing here? That's what I don't understand.
Mr Mayor, we're talking about finances here, but really, it's been a paper exercise. They're not actually factoring in the human cost. I know we're talking about elderly people, but the ripple effect of, for instance, going to a GP, trying to get an appointment, I mean, it's going to be horrendous. We saw in Belfast with the city hospital closing, the ripple effect, and they predicted it, what would happen to the Royal. But the difference in Belfast, they're just down the road from each other, the Royal and the city. Here you've got the dogleg into Ards and then out to the Ulster. It's going to be horrendous.
I think today is quite relevant because today is Armistice Day. And if you think of the people in your family and my family who fought in the wars to give us, and one of the things that came out of the Second World War, and it's probably why half of us are still here, is the health service. And there's somebody somewhere in a room with a black felt pen saying, don't like Bangor Hospital. See that Dalry Ardoin? That can go as well. Just closing their eyes, it's almost like pinning the tail on the donkey. And just, unfortunately for the people of Bangor, you're pin has landed on your donkey.
I left the GP ward and I've actually went into the district from then. So I'm going to people's homes every day. About 50% of the homes that I go into have patients who have been in Bangor GP ward who have loved the care, loved the staff, and it's because of them that they're managing to go home. You know, and without Bangor GP ward, you know, they're not going to get home. They'll sit in big hospitals and they'll die. I'm Bangor GP and it's because of them and the love and the devotion of staff. I'm sorry, it's really deep to me. And I'm just disgusted. As you say, pick the wee guy.
We've run on half the staff we used to have. Two nurses most days, dealing with up to 70 patients a day. You know, we're being penalised for working hard and providing the care in our own units to compensate for the shortfalls that's happening up in the Ulster Hospital.
And out of the blue, a DUP MLA made a bold promise to those who put him into Stormont.
Say that again.
We will find that money for you.
Alex Easton from the DUP, you're an MLA and you spoke out at this meeting. You promised the people here that you would find the money to keep this hospital open. Are you going to be able to keep that promise?
I will look for the money that is needed to keep the Bangor Minor Injuries Unit and the GP ward open. I will then present that plan to the Chief Executive of the South Eastern Trust, and it's up to him at that stage whether he will accept my alternative plan.
But essentially it's your minister, it's your DUP minister that has caused so much anger in this room tonight.
Well, it was the South Eastern Trust initially, but at the end of the day, the Health Minister is willing to look at alternative plans if they can be presented, and he's willing to do that.
So is he going to put the brakes on this and come the end of this month?
If we can find an alternative plan that is viable, I'm sure the Minister will look favourably at it.
Do you not think that's pie in the sky? In 2 weeks' time, you're going to come up with a plan to save what's here in Bangor?
I will come up with an alternative, and it's up to whether the Chief Executive of the South Asian Trust will accept that plan.
Are you against the Minister then?
I'm against the cuts by the South Eastern Trust.
So you don't blame the Minister for this at all, you blame the Trust?
Well, the Trust were the ones that didn't live within their budgets, and they need to learn to live within their budgets, and we're having to try and dig them out of the mess that they created in the first place.
Leslie Cree, you're an Ulster Unionist here at North Down. What do you think politicians are going to do at the 11th hour?
Well, I can't really speak for my colleagues, but I certainly know what I want to do. I want to change this. And as I said at the meeting, this could be changed tomorrow. The Minister has simply got to overrule the Trust, just as his predecessor did in the Northern Region, and say, no, I'm not having that. Go and look for the money elsewhere. But it's only 300.
But this is a pipe dream.
No, it's not. They could do that in administration. Senior grades of civil service got a 2% increase. Ordinary rank and file got one.
Did you get a pay rise?
I only got one some years ago. That's 3 years ago now. They gave us 5,000, and I now pay tax on that, so I only get £3,000. And out of that £3,000 of a so-called increase, I'm now subsidising running my office because they cut £6,000 out of our office cost expenses, which my staff haven't had a rise now for 2 years either.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, but did you find it a little bit hypocritical that DUP members were here tonight?
It is a little bit. I don't know why, certainly if it was an Ulster Unionist minister, I would have had an answer for him before now, and it would have been in the affirmative.
And what did you think about Alex Easton sticking his neck out and saying he's going to find the money and he's going to keep this hospital open?
Well, I didn't realise he had that kind of power.
But some people might say, do the honourable thing and cut the Assembly members down from 108 to half of that.
I agree with that.
And do it tomorrow then.
Well, you can't do that quickly, but I agree with that. Now, let me put the other bit to you. Why haven't we cut the number of departments down from 11 to 6, 7 or 8? Why don't we cut down the levels of bureaucracy? Come on, get real.
Well, Chief Executive of the South Eastern Health Trust is Hugh McCaughey, and he's on the line now. Morning.
Good morning, Tara.
Lots of questions for you this morning. Let's start with the local DUP MLA, Alex Easton's claim that you've created a mess.
I naturally wouldn't agree with that. We're in a position where we had a budget which was agreed in October. It was great that there was $60 million additional was provided, but that still left trusts with just over $30 million defined. In our case, that was $5 million. And that's $5 million which we have to take out in the last 4 to 5 months of the year. So the measures we've had to produce, the contingency plan we've had to produce, which is unpalatable, is because we're having to find that money late in the year.
So you didn't overspend your budget. Your budget has been cut.
Well, it's the fact that the budget has been agreed in October, which requires us to save $5 million. So we had plans, we submitted plans early in the year to live within our budget. But the clarity of the budget came late in terms of it came in the middle of October, which left trusts at that stage with clarification of what they had finally to save. And in our case, that meant $5 million. So, and therefore, we had to take $5 million out in the last 4 to 5 months.
Well, the Health Minister's right-hand man says you haven't lived within your budget, that you've overspent, that you've created a mess. Is he wrong or is he right?
We're fully aware of our requirement to live within our budget. And when the budget became clear, when it became clear what our target as a trust was in mid-October, we submitted plans so that we could live within that budget. We have always had plans and submitted plans that would enable us to live within our budget.
So these are your cuts. You've had to sit and look at the sheet and say, right, this is where we need to cut the money. And then you submit that to the minister and he says yes or no.
Yes, and initially will be submitted to the Health and Social Care Board as Commissioner, and that will be shared also with the Department and ultimately the Minister. And certainly the things that are being talked around the beds, the domiciliary care, the minor injuries, those are things that were submitted to the Minister.
Are you surprised by Alex Easton's comments, given that he's Jim Wells' right-hand man?
In some way, one of the things I would welcome is if you look at any developed country at the minute, their health system is struggling because what they're seeing, every health system is seeing a rise in demand of about 3 to 4%. That means every health system to actually stand still needs to grow and needs income growing by about 5 to 6% every year. Now, the reality is very few economies can actually afford that. We can't do that. So what I'm taking from Alex Easton saying last night is that he believes there needs to be a serious discussion around what difficult choices, what things can we afford, what things can't we afford? How do we live within our overall budget as a society? And this is a wider societal and political debate. How do we meet that demand in health in the future? And that there's inevitably either we have to give more money, we have to make about choices about things that are currently are free, or we have to make difficult choices about the things that we can do without.
So something is going to have to give.
Yes, because the alternative is you just try and muddle through, and that you end up with sort of expecting staff and services to carry that growth in demand year on year on year, and it just gets harder and harder and harder. And I noticed you said in one of your earlier pieces, there's lots of pressure in the health service. If we actually don't take a radical look at it and face up to some of those difficult choices, all we're doing is building that pressure year on year.
Well, what sort of radical choices? What are you talking about here? Is the closure of Bangor Hospital one of them?
Well, I think, the first thing you have to look at is we do provide a range of things. We make some choices about things that we don't want people to pay for. But the reality is then that we as a society pay for those things. So, for example, prescriptions. The fact that we offer prescriptions free means that we do still pay for those out of the public purse, although they're free for people. So there are some choices. Those things then mean that whatever the money we spend on prescriptions isn't actually available to be spent on other things.
But it's a drop in the ocean in terms of the overall budget.
Well, it's one example of things that we do not charge for, which other parts of the UK and other parts of the NHS do charge for. So there are a range of things.
Well, what about charging for going to see the GP, charging for A&E? Are you in favour of that?
That's exactly my point, is that actually we need a wider discussion. And I think what Alex was saying last night was there are difficult choices. There are a range of options. It's not for me as a chief exec to say, actually, yes, we should start charging for GPs or EDs or things like that. That has to be a wider societal discussion. But at the minute, we seem to be almost saying, well, we can muddle through. We'll get through next year by doing a few small things. We actually need to look at what it is we resource, what it is we can afford, what it is we can afford to provide free.
Well, are you open to his alternative plan? There's a short window here, 2 weeks, that he says he's going to bring some alternative and that you could find the money elsewhere.
Well, I actually met with Alex and some of his colleagues on Monday, and he said that he, if there were alternatives, would we look at them? We said we would. But I did stress to him that we have very little time. It's already late in the year where we have to find this 5 million. And the impact, therefore, is greater when you try to find 5 million in 4 months. It's the equivalent of 15 million for the full year. So when you leave it late. So if he can...